Hey everybody, welcome to Stu's Thoughts Podcast, episode 54. And today I'm going to give you my thoughts about North Korea. Right, before we get started here, if you're listening, Kim Jong-un, is that your name? Don't be sending any missiles my way, right? This is a friendly one for you. This is not, I'm not going to be offending you in any way, hopefully. And, you know, if you ever want to invite me to come over and visit you, I'll do it. Absolutely. I would love to go to North Korea. So, this episode is about North Korea. And then let's get stuck into it, shall we? Let's play the actual intro. So before we get into it, guys, you know the score. I'm going to give you my thoughts about what I've been up to recently. And I'm going to just plug the wedding I was at last night. So I was at Jessica and Elliot's wedding, and it was a busy one. I was there the whole day drawing caricatures of guests. And it was raining, so I couldn't go outside, which was very disappointing, but there's nothing you can do, can you? You can't stop the rain. You know, you can stop it from falling on you by having like an umbrella or something, but when you're drawing on paper, you can't do it. And the venue I was at, Stranford Farm in Shrewsbury. It's good if you're like outside and the weather's nice. There's lots of like outdoor area. But when it rains and you're drawn on paper, not good. Not good. Saying that though, I did manage to find some shelter and I made it work. And I was there the whole day. So congratulations to you guys for getting married. And then that brings us on to today, because I literally did a podcast, 2-3 days ago. So I'm all over the place at the minute with this podcast, as I'm trying to get to the next level. I'm trying to make it better, basically. And the first idea I had was to go clean. Go clean. Don't be cursing anymore. And then that might, you know, get it out to a wider audience, which is actually happening. And then another idea I had was, hey, how about you get some better microphones and get some good audio equipment, which is what I done. So you've been obviously listening to me the last couple of days about this Rodecaster, haven't shut up about it. You know, and it's so much fun. Like I still love it. I absolutely love this thing. But she's trying to work it out, trying to figure everything out. It's a bit of a nightmare. So I was talking about the audio on the last podcast, or on the last episode, should I say, and I was talking about the presets. So when you actually get this Rodecaster, it has built-in presets. So you have a neutral one, a podcast studio, and then a broadcast. And then I watched a video about a guy who was saying, like, you know, this is the best presets. So do this, do that, do that, and then save it as a new preset. So I've actually got a new preset there. The last couple of episodes I did it with the new preset. And then now I'm actually doing each episode with the different presets. So there's four of them. So the last episode was the new preset, the preset that the guy basically told me to do on a video I watched on YouTube. But this one it's on right now is the Podcast Studio one, which is a preset one that Rode themselves done. And I think it's actually good because, you know, these ones, the natural one, the Podcast Studio one, and the broadcast one are the built-in ones. Who knows their equipment better than them? Nobody. Rode knows what they're doing. Some guy on YouTube, you know, telling you to do this, telling you, how is he qualified? Is he? Probably not. Probably. Who knows? But, you know, I did an episode with the one he said And now I'm doing the one with the actual built-in presets. So I'm going to listen back. And then hopefully this sounds a hell of a lot better. Now I do have Rode pod mics, they're called. And even now, right, it's got a built-in pop filter. But even with that, my P's and F's are still very... You hear that? So I've actually ordered these little foam windscreen things, whatever you want to call them, and they're coming tomorrow, and they're going to go over the mic, and then that should make it sound even better. I've actually got one of the pop filter things that I've had on my last microphones, which is just like, you know, that circle-y thing, and then it's got like a net around it, like, and then you know that stops you from because this is with it now, and then this is with it without. But see, hear that? Hear the difference there? And then I put it back and it's better. So I don't know, but I'm going to use this for this episode, and then tomorrow whenever the windscreen things come and then I put it over the microphones, it should sound even better. So I am working on, you know, getting the best sound quality, and this is definitely happening. Like, it's definitely getting better. I mean, I've listened to this, or not this one, I've listened to a few other episodes, and you know, like before I had these microphones, and I must say the sound quality is a hell of a lot better. A hell of a lot better. A hell of a lot better. Not to mention I've got all these like buttons and stuff now. So, and also I can actually hook my phone up to this. So honestly, I'm getting better. I'm putting a lot of thought into this. I spent all day today working this thing out, and yeah, the sound quality is getting good. Now, if you go on to Spotify, if you're listening to this on Spotify, you'll probably see that you can't see any more episodes before episode 49. So it starts 49 up to 54. And the reason for that is because I joined this podcasting host called Audio Boom. I only found out about them today, and they were like, come and join us. And I joined them, and then they were like, what's your RSS feed? And then we'll just get all your previous episodes and we'll put it onto this one. And I was like, I don't have one. So basically what I did was I've uploaded all the ones that I went clean. So starting from episode 49. So I've uploaded them onto this Audio Boom, and yeah, it's almost like I'm starting from scratch again when it comes to Spotify. I was thinking to myself, should I just go back to like doing episode one? So on there, it's episode 49, 50, 51, 52, 53. And I was thinking about changing episode 49 back to one and then starting from there, because this is when all the sound quality is good and stuff. And all, you know what I mean? And using all the other episodes as just a training to get to where I am now, because I feel like I'm only starting to... you know, get the hang of this thing. Whereas my last episodes were like, the sound quality was bad, and you know, I was cursing a lot. So I was thinking about it, but then when you go into Apple Podcast, all of the episodes are there, even the ones that are before episode 49. And I don't know what Apple are doing. I don't know if over time they're gonna delete them or something. And it's a waiting game at the minute, but potentially. Like, this is episode 54. Potentially, it could be episode 6. And then we're starting from scratch on Audio Boom. And then I'll just change the numbers. But then again, I might just leave it the way it is and just keep going. So Audio Boom and Spotify start from episode 49. And then if you want to listen to any of them before that, then you just go on to Apple Podcast. Yeah, I'm just waiting out at the minute to see when Apple Podcast, they're still like updating stuff and blah blah blah. And like I separated this podcast from my business U-Tunes because I cursed a lot, and I didn't want that to be associated with the business, because whenever I'm out drawing caricatures and stuff, I don't want people thinking I'm going to curse, because I don't. And I know I've said this before on previous episodes, but I just want to put it out there. But now that the podcast is clean and I don't curse anymore. Well, if I do curse, I can always do this. But I don't think I will. And what was I talking about there? Yeah, so whenever I had this idea of like separating the podcast from the business, even though the business is sponsoring this podcast. I was like, right, you just need to separate it. So I took this podcast down from the iTunes website and I just basically separated them. But now that it's clean, I just put it back up again. So it's back on the website. So you can now go onto my iTunes website and listen to the podcast there if you want. You can be, and also this audio boom thing, it dishes it out, distributes it out. Like this podcast, it distributes them out to everything. So like it's now on like iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, everywhere. And YouTube. So I'm starting up a YouTube channel. Not for video, like, but for audio. And I'm just waiting back because I had to like get to my license and stuff and all for like ID and stuff. I don't know why, but I did it anyway. Screw it. And then, because basically now that I've got an RSS feed, it goes straight to YouTube, and then all the videos will go straight up to YouTube. Then, and it's not even a video; it's just an audio, but it's got like a picture of the branding on there, and then you can listen to it on YouTube. I was just basically what I did is I stripped it all down and I was just uploading the episodes directly to Apple Podcast and then directly to Spotify. So it was going directly to them and nowhere else. So now it's still going to them, but it's also going everywhere now. Everywhere. But you didn't think I was going to press that button there, did you? Echo. Still messing around with this thing. I am going to start calming down with it, but I am going to sort of, like Kirsty says, stop doing it all the time. It'll annoy people. And also, like, I find putting the podcast on this audio boom thing, apparently it's like a global thing, so it's going to go everywhere all around the world. I was on RSS feed whenever I first started doing this podcast almost a year ago, so I actually did put it on there, and then after a while I was just like, why am I paying like £15 a month when I can just put it on Spotify and Amazon myself, or Spotify and Apple Podcast myself. But turns out it was a wrong decision. But we're here anyway. We're back to having it on the website, YouTube, and hopefully then a global audience. And we'll see what happens then. So I just need 1,000 more monthly listeners. Once I get that, then I'll start monetizing this thing, which is cool. So I don't know how I'm going to do that. That's the next challenge. So I think as far as the sound quality is concerned, I am going to do a few little more tests and see what the best quality is I can get with these mics. And then I'll be happy whenever I finally go, right, that's the best. And then I can like, right, let's move on to something else now. And then I'm going to work on like my speeches and stuff, like actually finish my sentences, writing that down and stop saying and so all the time. So I'm putting effort in. I'm putting some time into this thing. I'm not just gonna, settle for something that's bad quality and then nobody wants to listen to it. But you have to go through all these sort of steps, don't you? You have to put the time in. You put the time in, you get rewarded. That's what they say, isn't it? But there we go. Look at that there. 15 minutes. I have been thinking to myself, you need to get what you've been up to recently down to 15 minutes and that's it. And then that way you've got, 45 minutes to talk about North Korea. Like, I'm kind of scared in case they take offense to it or something. Do you reckon they will? Do you reckon there's a nuclear warhead heading towards me right now? Probably not, but we'll soon see. So, strap yourselves in, guys. We're going to get stuck into it, and we're going to be talking about good old North Korea. So, straight away, I just want to say, see if I ever have the chance to go to North Korea, I would. I 100% would. The country fascinates me. Like, it really fascinates me. It's just like the whole secret sort of, you know, country that, you know, you don't really know what's going on, do you, as an outsider? Now, I am actually saying this country's name wrong. The full name is actually the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, aka the DPRK. But I think, is it just the West that calls it North Korea? Like, does China and stuff, do they call it, like, the people, the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea? I mean, that's a tongue twister, that. And now, from what I've heard, I believe that it's a non-religious country. Is that right? North Korea. Yeah, so North Korea is not a religious country. It is officially an atheist state. Like, I'm an atheist, so straight away, get me there. I think I would like it, you know. I don't even know why, but is it just because it's like very mysterious? Even if it's like a guided tour, I'd do it. I wonder, can you visit it? Can you visit? I mean, I've typed in North Korea so many times on Google on my phone here. Like, they're definitely going, you know, something's up here. Why is this guy suddenly interested in our country? Why is this guy suddenly interested in our country? That's my North Korean. Can you visit North Korea? Yes, but travel to North Korea, brackets, DPRK, is currently highly restricted, especially for US citizens, and requires a prearranged tour, a visa, and an adherence to stick to strict rules. I wonder how though? Pyongyang? Whoa. Flights, £433 to Pyongyang. I mean, I'm tapping that. I would definitely love to go, you know. Would you go? And if I was to go, I definitely wouldn't take any videos or, you know, I would definitely do my research and look at, like, you know, what are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? I wonder, can you drink in North Korea? I mean, the last thing you want to do is go to a nightclub or whatever and then get absolutely steaming and then do something really stupid and end up in prison in North Korea. Can you imagine that? Hang on, wasn't there a Brit? I'm pretty sure there was a British guy who's there at the minute. Again, do your research before you come on. Can you drink alcohol in North Korea? Yes, you can drink alcohol in North Korea. Alcohol beverages such as, I'm not even going to try and say that. Try and say this, right? TAEDONGGANG. Donggang? Tia Donggang? Beer? We just click on this and see what it looks like. Ooh, looks nice. I wonder, can you buy that? I'm trying to see what percentage it is. It doesn't say in English, does it? You got 500 mil. No, doesn't say. Oh, 5%. I mean, so you can drink, right? I don't think, I dare say there's no drugs over there. Like. So I had a little look around and I found this website. Koryo Tours, and they actually specialize in doing holidays to North Korea. So there's a little video here. I'm going to play it and we'll see how easy it is, because I tell you something, I'm actually being generally serious. If I get an opportunity or find out how to go on holiday to North Korea, I would do it. I would do it, man. Let's see what this video is. This is by Koryo Tours. I'm sorry if I'm saying your name wrong, which I probably am.
I think North Korea is the kind of place that fascinates a lot of people, and The simple reason that I find it fascinating is because so many people spend a lot of time focusing on North Korea, but yet still we know so little about it. As soon as you learn one thing, it brings up 10 more questions about something else.
There's a lot that we know about from the outside world of our media, of how we perceive North Korea. But I also think, as a traveler, that it's necessary also to go and see. The reason what our company specializes in is not just tourism, but also responsible tourism. So as well as taking you there, you're either being part of or supporting various other projects that we do, from sport and cultural exchanges to humanitarian projects. We set up a company in 1993. I'm a landscape architect by training. I came to China and had a fascination in North Korea. At that time, it only opened to tourism in 1987, so very few people had visited. And to keep on visiting the country, you needed a visa. And that's actually how we set up a travel company. It was unintentional. And now we're taking just under 2,000 people a year.
Just under 2,000 a year? That's not a lot, is it?
I joined the company in April 2002 when I knew of Nick through an amateur football league in Beijing, and I arranged to go on a trip with him because I was interested in what he did and the company did. We started working together from there. So since that first trip in April of 2002, I've visited the country over 150 times, 10, 15 times a year, and for a variety of reasons, mostly for tour leading, taking in the groups that we arrange, but also for work trips, to arrange sports trips with school groups, for a range of things, really. I think that's the most rewarding part of the job, actually.
I reckon the people there are very friendly, very nice. I reckon, you know, they're going to be very, very welcoming. They'll probably give you, the shirt off their back or something. And then, you know, but I don't know.
We arrange a number of cultural projects in North Korea, range from working with the Pyongyang International Film Festival and facilitating international submissions to the festival, to working with foreign artists, helping them go to the country and producing new photographic works, films, different cultural events also. And then there's the personal projects that we run ourselves.
I reckon this video was... You had to go through North Korea in order for this to go out, because all the background everywhere is just full of like propaganda, like military propaganda. You know what they're like.
We have a history of working with North Koreans and bringing their work out of the country to share with an international audience. So the engagement process goes both ways, both foreigners coming into the country, producing work, and also helping North Korean artists' work reach a wider audience.
I wonder can I go over there and do like more caricatures? Do you think that would be a thing? I wonder if there's a North Korean caricature artist.
With Koryo Tours is that we're a company that don't just practice tourism there. I mean, that wouldn't be enough for any of us. There's very few.
I mean, this guy's receding her line. Do what I did, mate. Shave it all off. It looks stupid.
Of our staff, in fact, there's no one who's trained in tourism. Our interest is in North Korea primarily, and we've learned tourism because that's what we do. And through that, we do cultural projects and various other sort of things. It's, you know, to follow engagement, if you like.
We've established ourselves as the experts in tourism and culture in North Korea, and therefore we're often approached by different organisations who want to be able to produce projects.
That lady's got a Scottish accent, but she looks North Korean. Well, Korean. How do you work that out?
Projects in North Korea. Because we have such strong relationships with different agencies inside the country, we're able to help make those things happen.
Koryo has always been an apolitical company, and of course we're aware of the controversies and the political issues that surround the country that we choose to work in. People are genuinely concerned about supporting the North Korean system. But that's not what tourism does. That's not what we do. The government is not in power because of tourism. The government is not supported by tourism. What tourism brings to the country is the opportunity for a small and increasing amount of interaction between ordinary people there and ordinary tourists visiting, which would not exist if people didn't go there. So it's a way not only for visitors to learn a bit about North Korea, but for North Koreans too, to learn a little bit about foreigners.
Dramatic music. So I think, you know, watching that video and like looking at it, you often hear all these like rumors, don't you? Like the only reason they give you like guided tours and stuff and all is because the country's like in turmoil, or like, you know, nobody can afford food and nobody can, you know, it's so strict. Like I think you have to go there to find out, I think. Yes, it's guided tours, but why is there guided tours? I mean, you have guided tours around here. Like, actually, do you know something? If you go to Africa, you have to have sort of guided tours around there, because like Kenya, for example, when I went there, like you can't just go there, pick a hotel and then just walk around the streets, because whenever people in like Africa and stuff see that you're white, they'll be like, he's rich. So they'll try and kidnap you and then hold you for ransom. I think if you have a guided tour, like if you didn't have guided tours, would you end up getting kidnapped or something? Who knows? But I'd be up for it. If I look really into it and then see whenever the next tours are, we've got one here. Young Pioneer Tours. North Korean tours, 2025, 2026. See if there is any. You can go in December. North Korean mountain and sea tour is, I mean, it's 6 days, 7 nights, and it's €1,395. Ultra budget independent tour. Oh, hang on, is this just a tour? Flight option. Oh yeah, you have to do the flights on top of that. So this is like a 2-night, 3-day tour, €445. And the flights are like just under €300. So around about €700, which is what, like £600, you could have 2 nights and 3 days in North Korea. Plus, you know, you have to have your food and stuff and all. So you go in by train from Beijing. That's possible. It's affordable and possible. Pack your bags. Guess who's going to North Korea? Me. Yeah, definitely. I'd definitely be up for that. So we talk about the supreme leader. Hang on, the supreme leader. Kim Jong-un, right? So I got some here. We got some facts here. And what's the first one? His real age. He's thought to be the youngest ruler, but there is no clue. And he was believed to be born. So he was born in 1983 or 1984. Damn, he's older than me. So he's 41. That's mad. He attended the best Swiss school using a fake name. I did hear about him like going to some other country, didn't he? Where he like, it might have been that one actually, where like the Swiss thing. Like I know he studied outside of North Korea and then he seen basketball, I think it was, and he fell in love with it. So I think that's why North Koreans, like their national sport is basketball, but I'm pretty sure I've seen somewhere where they changed the rules a little bit and stuff and all, but who knows. His addiction to Swiss cheese is the source of his chubbiness. How much Swiss cheese does he eat? These bits of information, I'm actually getting them from a website called TRT Global, whatever that is. He's a military commander with no training. He underwent surgery to resemble his grandfather. Where are they getting these facts from? He's a diehard basketball fan. Covered that. Didn't somebody go out and visit him? Some like, was it, what do you call that guy? He's like, he's a basketball player. He looks like a clown. Dennis Rodman, that's the one. And he's close friends with former NBA star Dennis Rodman. How cool would that be? To be his best friend? Who's your best friend? I'm going to a wedding. Bring your plus one. Who is it? Kim Jong-un. He's a fan of Michael Jordan. Well, if you like basketball, he's not a fan of Michael Jordan. Madness. But then I heard some mad rumors about, well, rumors or facts, whatever you want to call it. Like, what did he do? He went to play golf and got 18 holes in one. And then another one was like, he hasn't got an anus. So like, he doesn't poop. Is that his dad? Kim Jong-il. Is that his dad or is that his granddad? Kim Jong-un. That's his dad. He's the one, like, I remember whenever I was younger, like watching it on TV and stuff, and all, you would see him all the time in his big, like, overall suit thing, whatever it is. Well, it's just a suit. Remember he was in that film, American, what do you call it? Team America. Do you have any idea how big I am? Perfect example there. Perfect reminiscence of him from that movie. I just want to put it out there, like, his daughter, Kim Yo John, 37. She doesn't look too bad, to be honest. But I mean, like, you wouldn't want to get in the wrong set of her. I think, who's going to be his successor? I think it's her, actually, isn't it? I mean, it's scary that China, Russia, and North Korea are all, like, friends. That's scary, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, China's going to be ruling this whole world in the next 20 years or something. And I often think, like, it's a good thing that Donald Trump gets along with Kim Jong-un. You don't want to, like, didn't he call him the Rocket Man?
The Rocket Man.
41 years old, man. I mean, he's portrayed over here as like a dictator. And I think over in North Korea, you can only have like certain hairstyles, can't you? It's mad. Like, I'm deliberately not making this a funny episode because I don't want to offend him, because I'm pretty sure he's probably listening right now. And he's definitely like tapped my phone because I've just literally typed in pretty much every word in the dictionary and then put North Korea on it. So if he has some sort of spy satellite, it's definitely flying over my house right now going, boop, boop, monitor to this guy. What's he up to? Why has he got some sort of fascination with our country? Let's see if I can get a funny video. So if I can't say something funny, maybe I can get a video that's, you know, someone saying something funny. Let's see if I can find it. Right, so I've got a video here, and this might get me nuked. It's Kim Jong-un. Is funny. Who's it by? The Cosmic Eight. Let's listen to this.
Well, welcome back, sir. Take a seat, please. I have a quick question. What would you like us to put on the teleprompter for you?
Tits. Really big ones as soon as possible.
Hey, yeah. I don't think you're funny.
Bitch, your mom is... fat. Oink.
Oh, goddammit, Kimmel. Oink. You stop it. Excuse me.
Stop.
That's what I do. Like this. I grab my finger and boom. It's in my asshole, yeah. Hello, sir.
Oh, this is not funny at all.
Hey, guys, have you guys heard of Kim?
Well, there you go. That's not funny at all. That was a waste of a couple of minutes there. I'll tell you something. It's actually pretty interesting, right? So there's this website called Radiocast. Hang on, let me see if I can get it here. Radiocast. If you don't know what Radiocast is, it's an app. It's not an app, sorry. It's a website that you can go onto and you can actually listen to radio stations all over the world. And whenever I downloaded this, I just had this thought, should I say, I wonder, can you listen to North Korea? So I'm on it now, right? So you've got Radiocast. It's basically, right, what are you doing? So it shows you like a map of the world, and then it's got these little black dots, and the black dots are radio stations. And to my surprisement, right, where's North Korea here? Where is there? There's two. No, sorry, there's three radio stations you can listen to. No, my bad. There's two radio stations that you can listen to, like live. And I'm going to click onto this one. This is Pyongyang. So this is as it happens right now. This is Pyongyang radio station. Sorry, I deafened everybody there. That's it right now. So somebody would have to be there to stream it out, wouldn't they? Feel the waves, guys. This is relaxing. Is this not relaxing? But there we go. So if you go on the Radiocast, right, not only that, right, I absolutely love this thing. I've actually got it on my tablet. So whenever I'm in the office and I'm doing emails and invoices and receipts and stuff, there's a little button here that you press and you can just randomly flick two different radio stations. Let's see what else we got here. So this is what, in Croatia. Play then. Play. So you can do like a random station thing. So again, it's Radiocast, all one word, .com. Okay, that for some reason not working. This is a radio station in the Netherlands. It's like an 80s thing, isn't it? So we also got Turkey, Istanbul. There we go. Like a radio DJ here. There you go. So check that out, guys. Radiocast. What I did was I didn't download it. Like I said, I basically, you go onto it and then you just bookmark it. And then if you ever like, you know, want something to listen to, or if you want to find new artists or anything like that, then you go onto that. Basically what I was doing was I was sitting listening to, Radiocast, and I was just flicking through different radio stations, and then this one song came on somewhere in Africa, I think it was like Ghana, And there's a guy called Penny Penny. Nobody in the world has probably heard this guy. And the song came on and I was just like, yo, that song's actually pretty sick. That's actually pretty cool. And then I got the, I think a Siri. I was like, what's this song? And then she told me, oh, it's Penny Penny. And I was like, boom, went on Spotify. There I was on Spotify. And I was like, follow that guy. And I've been listening to it for a while, actually. So it's good to actually, expand your horizons. I mean, he's speaking in Afrikaans, can't sing, can't understand a single word, but it's pretty good. Let's talk about their military power, shall we? Because let's face it, you don't want the Edens coming after you, do you really? The manpower, roughly 1.3 million active duty personnel. 1.3 million. 1.3 million. It's one of the largest militaries on the planet. I mean, them and China together, the rest of the world is screwed. You know what I mean?
Screwed. Absolutely screwed.
I mean, let's see if I can get something about their, is there a video? Let's see what this is.
So what do we know about the North Korean military? Well, as one of the world's most secretive states, information about its armed forces is hard to verify, even though it's very keen to parade it before the world whenever it can.
That marching is bang on. You know, coming from a military background myself, like, that the way that they march and stuff, it's such freaky. It's almost like, I don't know, it's like, I wouldn't compare them to Nazis, but you know what I mean? It's like big banners everywhere and perfect marching and it's mad. That's scary.
What we do know is that it's one of the most militarized societies in the world. This year, Pyongyang said it was earmarking 16% of all state spending for defense. All men between the ages of 17 and 30 have to enlist in the military, and they have to serve anything from 3 to 12 years in uniform.
My God.
The Korean People's Army, or KPA, has an estimated 1.3 million active personnel. That includes a million-strong army, an air force of 110,000, and a navy of 60,000. It also has nearly 7,000 personnel involved in cyber warfare. Those numbers make it...
Cyber warfare? 6,800 people... Basically, on the computers, monitoring things. No doubt they're monitoring this.
One of the world's largest militaries, beaten only by the likes of China and the United States. Analysts believe Pyongyang can also call on a further 600,000 reservists. North Korea is also one of only 9 countries in the world known to have nuclear weapons. The fourth branch of its military, its strategic forces, operate a range of intercontinental ballistic missiles, which can be armed with nuclear warheads.
Intercontinental.
Some of them, it's believed, are capable of reaching anywhere in the United States. The KPA also has a lot of conventional military equipment, including more than 3,500 tanks, but a lot of it is old Soviet-era armor. North Korea's Air Force has more than 400 fighter aircraft, 80 bombers, and more than 200 transport aircraft. But again, many of them date from the Soviet Union, with some thought to be up to 80 years old. The Korean People's Army Naval Force has around 470 surface vessels, including guided missile ships and torpedo boats. It also has around 70 submarines, including Romeo-class boats built by the Soviets in the late 1950s. Recently, Kim Jong-un has moved to boost the size of the Navy and equip it with nuclear weapons. It's also believed to have deployed new underwater drones, warships, and its first operational missile submarine. Simon Newton, BFBS Forces News.
That's madness.
Thanks for watching.
Shut up. There was a thing recently, wasn't there, about the boat? So there was a... ship. Ship launch. I remember this. This was like literally, was it in June? So a couple of months ago. And you could see on that, like the video, like he was not impressed. I reckon a lot of people died that day. Like this massive new ship. What's this video say?
After last month's humiliating launch failure that left a destroyer capsized and Kim Jong-un furious, North Korea now says the warship is back above water and back at port for repairs.
They actually got it back up?
State media says technicians are now assessing damage and preparing the ship for dry dock to drain flooded systems before starting hull repairs. The goal? Get the destroyer operational before a workers' party meeting later this month, as ordered by Kim himself. Satellite imagery from Planet Labs confirms the ship is upright and moored near the site of the botched launch. Analysts say the damage looks less severe than feared. The warship, designed to boost Pyongyang's naval and nuclear defenses, was badly damaged after a sideways launch went wrong, smashing parts of the hull and dunking the bow. Kim Jong-un witnessed it himself. He called it criminal negligence and vowed punishment. Four officials have since been detained. But the big surprise? U.S. military experts say North Korea got the ship back upright faster than expected, using special balloons to stabilize and refloat it. Analysts thought that could take 6 weeks, but it took two. And if repairs move as quickly, the ship could be back in action much sooner than expected. North Korean officials now promise a, quote, perfect.
Yeah, I bet you, like, you know, once that thing capsized or whatever, he was like so furious. Everyone was like, drop what you're doing. Nobody takes any breaks. Nobody eats. Nobody, nothing. Make sure this ship is like the most important thing right now. They probably got like kids or something working on it as well.
Restoration without fail. The ship is believed to be a twin of the destroyer unveiled last month, a high-tech vessel equipped with anti-air and ship defense systems, and the ability to launch both ballistic and cruise missiles, including nuclear warheads. Experts say North Korea still lags far behind militarily, but these destroyers mark a significant upgrade and a growing threat. For more unbiased updates, download...
See, this is the thing, right? You always hear it from, like, the Americans and anywhere in the West. It's like, North Korea are a threat. They're a threat. Are they really, though? Like, when was the last time they even went to war? I know, like, didn't North Korea and South Korea go to war or something? And, you know, I reckon it's media that spins the wave or whatever, makes them look like, you know, it's almost like he's preparing for battle. And that's the way they're sort of making it, isn't it? Or am I just being paranoid now? Because, like, you see him with Donald Trump and they're smiling and they're happy together and stuff like this. So, like, is there a threat? Should we be worried? Like in our lifetime? I don't know. What a depressing episode this is. I don't want to take the mick out of him, you know what I mean? I don't want to get shot. Or, you know, he's probably listening to this and then he'll see like, oh look, Stewie's coming to visit us, right? He was talking, you know, about us. Hey, I don't know what's an accent? Let me see. North Korean accent. Let's see if I can do it. And then get North. Does anybody get interviewed? Accent. Wow, there's videos of this. Learning different languages between North and South. Learn North Korean.
Hi, my name is Yuna. I'm from North Korea. This is North Korean Word of the Week. Dachida.
Dachida.
건들다, 만지다, 부딪히다의 뜻입니다. 다치지 말라. 그거 이거 전에 했고요. 야, 넌 왜 아까부터 자꾸 내 팔 다치고 그래?
Is this one word?
Like, for example, 예를 들어서 누군가의 연필을 허락도 없이 이렇게 가져오려고 하면 그 아이가 제 손을 이렇게 딱 때리면서 다치지 말라, 그거 내 거야 이렇게 얘기를 하고요. 또 계속 이렇게 누구 팔을 이렇게 만지거나
I don't know what's going on here.
왜 나를 다치게 하느냐라고 하면서 한국과는 좀 다르게 이
다치다라는
단어를 사용하고 있습니다. 그런데 북한에서는 대부분 다치다라는 단어는 이렇게 상해를 입었을 때 다친다라는 뜻도 있지만 대부분 몽
I don't know. I don't know what the hell is going on there. Is there a difference between North and South Korean? Language?
Day 330.
Go away.
One of the most interesting effects of North Korea's isolation is how their language diverged from South Korea after the Korean War. Obviously, since the two...
Whoa, dude, calm down. Holy crap. This guy... Look at this guy. Who is it?
Countries can't communicate, their language is undergoing a kind of allopatric speciation. There are new differences in pronunciation, and the South is borrowing all kinds of English loanwords that the North isn't. So...
Jesus, mate, calm down. Who is this? It's going TikTok. Eddie... Monology, nerd, I don't know.
While a South Korean might call a smartphone a handphone from the English words hand plus phone, a North Korean would instead call it a sunjinba, which is instead from traditional Korean elements also meaning hand phone. On top of all that, the North Korean government has policies aimed at purifying the Korean language by purging it of foreignisms. For example, while South Korea still says chus...
This guy's freaking me out.
From the English word for juice, North Koreans now say danmul, adopted from Korean words meaning sweet water. This has occasionally caused real problems, like during the 2018 Olympics when the unified women's hockey team had trouble communicating because they used different sports terminology. However, a lot of these different
differences are amplified
by the media and
I'm not speeding this up. This is how quick this guy's talking.
South Korean propaganda. In reality, most Koreans can tell something's a little off, but still understand each other perfectly because both versions of the language are based on the Central Korean dialect. Meanwhile, each side has other dialects that are more different from the standard languages than the standard languages are from each other. And the funny thing is that both countries have been standardizing their language around that shared dialect, meaning that their languages are simultaneously diverging and converging. One of the most interesting effects of North Korea's isolation is how
their
language...
That guy's scary, man. Jesus. Anywho, moving on. When you look at North Korea and then you compare it to South Korea, look how advanced South Korea is compared to North Korea. North Korea almost feels like it's stuck back in time. Do you not think so? But when you look at like South Korea, it's like it's ahead of its time. It's in the future. There's a famous picture where the night sky and you see South Korea, it's just lit up. And in North Korea, there's just most of it's dark. I wonder what it would be like to live there. I know if you do something wrong, like not only do you get punished, but you're like, is it three generations get punished? So your grandfather could have done something wrong, and then your dad would get punished, and you would get punished, even though you and your dad didn't do anything wrong. Like so strict. Why are they so strict? Like why can't they just be nice to each other or something? I don't know. Like, why do you have to have some, like, certain haircuts? Why is it so strict? All right, you want to, you know, be hidden away from the rest of the world and all, fine, but why be so strict to your own people? You see it all the time. Like, see when you see it, like, videos and stuff and all, like, where it almost looks like they're acting. Like, when they see, like, the Supreme Leader, they're all like, it's almost like overacting, like clapping and crying and all this mad stuff. Like, but I don't know. Is it all acting or, you know, is it real? Are they just very emotional people? Who knows? I wonder what would happen if, Kim Jong-un either stepped down or, you know, he passed away. Like, what would happen then? I think I seen a video where, like, he wants his daughter to, take over. Like, he does have other kids, doesn't he? He has like sons and stuff and all, but I think for some reason his daughter is like is the apple of his eye, and she'll be taken over. Will she be even worse? When I say worse, like, I mean, what has North Korea done to the world other than test missiles? What and then like been very strict with their own people? Like, what harm have they actually done to us or to anybody? Like, they haven't done anything, really, have they? Yeah, they've got, you know, they're building nuclear missiles and, you know, intercontinental missiles or whatever, but so is everywhere else. So is America. So is the UK. Does that make us evil and we, you know, the rest of the world should be scared of us? I don't think so. But I definitely do, 100%. I reckon there's no way I could, like, die without visiting North Korea. The next place I want to go to is Japan, and then I have to go to Australia to see my sister, and North Korea is definitely on the list, 100%. Speaking about my sister in Australia, she might be coming onto this podcast. She doesn't know it yet, but I did a little tester with this Rodecaster on my phone, and turns out I can, not only am I going to have people here on the podcast, like some guests, but I'm also, I can also have them via the internet. So I can actually like call my sister and then she'll come on here. And in the sound quality, yes, when I test it out, yes, it does sound like it's, you know, she's on a phone or whatever, but it, you know, you can hear it. So that gives me the option of just like calling anybody and getting them on the podcast. How awesome is that? Madness. I don't know what else to say about, you know, talk about North Korea. They're in the year 113. Do you know that? So we're in like, what, 2025? And I would assume most of the world is. But they're in year 113. So it was basically, they started the calendar whenever Kim Il-sung, who's the founder of North Korea, like, yeah, they started it whenever he came into power, whatever. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, the Earth is like 300 whatever billion years old. Why are we in 2025? 2025, you know, that we had to start a date, a calendar sometime, didn't they? So did they. Juss calendar? I don't even know how to spell it. J-U-C-H-E. Was a system year number used in North Korea between 1997 and 2024. So, yeah, there you go. I'm struggling to find something else to speak about. Normally I would have, you know, take the mick out of things and that would have been funny and, you know, that would have passed time a little bit, but she's trying to like be like honest. Oh, I know what I can do. I know what can shave a minute off. I'll play the advert. How about that? Hey everybody, this podcast is sponsored by U-Tunes. Looking for something to make your wedding day extra special? Maybe you're hosting a corporate event or even planning a birthday party or a jago or a bar mitzvah. The list goes on. Have you thought about hiring a caricature artist? Well, look no further than U-Tunes. U-Tunes offers a professional, full-time, multi-award-winning caricature artist on hand to draw and entertain you and your guests. Not only will they leave with a very unique keepsake from your event, they will also be entertained by the eye-watering, side-splitting stand-up comedy performed by the artist while he draws. Having a caricature artist at your event will definitely make it a unique experience for your guests. U-Tunes covers all over Britain and the Channel Islands, and their prices are reasonable and affordable. If you want to get more information about this, please get in contact with them through their website, utunes.co.uk. That's the letter U-T-O-O-N-S.co.uk, or simply just Google U-Tunes. You can find them on all social media platforms as well. So get in touch, guys, and hire a caricature artist for your event. Back to the podcast. And boom, we're back. So I think that'll do, will it? This episode is, you know, it was a tester, basically. So I am not going to upload this directly to Spotify and Apple Podcast. I'm actually going to do it straight to the other thing I'm on now. I can't even remember what it's called. Audio Boom. And then it's distributing them out. I don't know how long that takes to distribute them out, blah, blah, blah. Everything's like an experiment. So the plan is to upload this on there and just see what happens. So I'll know what's happening in the next few days, but I feel like I'm going in the right direction. I feel like, you know, the sound quality is getting better. It's, you know, I'm learning. The problem is I'm having to do this all by myself. Nobody's helped me, right? Nobody has helped me when it comes to this podcast stuff. I've had to figure everything out myself. And I'm not doing that bad, actually, if I'm honest. So I say a few more episodes and I should be able to start relaxing, just start focusing on the actual topics themselves, you know, and then stop talking about the sound quality that I keep talking about all the time. But the reason why I'm actually documenting it and telling you guys about it is because I'm trying to help you out. So nobody helped me, but if you're wanting to start a podcast or anything and you listen to this and you skip everything that I've been doing over the last almost a year and just go straight ahead, buy yourself a Rodecaster, Rode pod mics, and then go on to get yourself an RSS feed and whatnot, and don't do what I did and just like cancel everything and then just do it directly. But I don't know. There you go. So not the funniest episode, but you know, you learned something new about North Korea today, did you? Probably not, but there we go. Anyway, thanks for joining, guys. This was a little tester, and the next one is going to be a bit more funnier, I reckon, and we'll see what's happening. So if you want to listen to previous episodes before episode 49, you'll have to go on to Apple Podcasts. But I don't know. I'm doing experiments. I'm figuring it all out. And eventually this podcast will mold itself into a good one. And then once I mold it into a good podcast, then it'll just be a podcast then, won't it? But there we go, guys. So cheers for listening, and catch us on the rebound. Cheers for listening, guys.